Your thoughts then in the following close season? I mean, obviously you're stepping up a league again. The manager's going to be out looking for players. I mean, you know, you always say, well, you know, welcome competition for places. But I mean, do you welcome competition for places really?
No, not really. But it's inevitable in football that you need competition for places. There's no two ways about it. I would love to be the only centre back at the club, but it's never going to happen. So you got to get on with it, and it's a case of proving yourself all over again. But Paul Stark was an extremely loyal manager. He said, you know, you have every chance to prove you can do it in the next division. If you can't, so be it, then you'll be on your way. That's football. But I think, you know, he had great belief in us, and we repaid him numerous times, and we repaid him that season while proving that we were good enough and finished just outside the playoff spots when could have maybe nicked a playoff position. But I think that season obviously was a bedding in season, but it gave us tremendous hope to realise that, you know, we can play in this league no problems, and we can do a lot more than we have done this year, which, I mean, we proved to do. So it was an invaluable season, really.
Because the hope around Home Park, as I recall, was, well, maybe we can get a playoff place. I mean, that was amongst the fans. I'm not quite sure what the players were saying. But did you really think you could go on and win a second championship within two seasons of having won the last?
No, I don't think so. I mean, I'll be honest with you, at the start of the championship season, I would have settled for a playoff place, no problem. But, I mean, as games were going on and on and on, we just got more and more confident. And we were the best organised team in that league, simple as that. We were the fittest, we were the strongest, and we just won over the top of teams. It was a great feeling.
And of course, just before the end of it, Paul Sturrock left. I mean, how big a blow was that for everybody here?
Well, it was a tremendous blow, but the important thing is, I think, that he went on to further his career. Who can argue with that? I mean, it's like if you're a dustman, you know, you want to work for the best dustbin firm, if whatever they're called, you know. I mean, he just went on, he furthered his career, so the players, there was no bitterness towards him. No, I mean, the timing was bad, but when would it have been good timing, you know? But like I say, he went on to further his career. Unfortunately, it didn't quite work out, but I mean, I was devastated, but you know, the new manager came in, who I got on great with as well, so it worked out okay.
Because I suppose the difference between the third division and the second division was the third, you and Luton pushed each other all the way. In the second, it was a case of, you know, Bristol City and QPR hiccupping as well, and it was almost a flop over the finishing line in a way.
Yeah, it was a real chore to get to that finishing line, like you said. Every time, I mean, all three of us were slipping up. I think the nerves really kicked in, and it was after every game we were kicking ourselves because QPR and Bristol City had lost or drawn, and if we had won, we'd have been up, and we'd lost as well. And it kept saying, "No, we're still X amount of points clear. We've still got a game in hand. We've still got this. We've still got..." But it proved in the end to be a real nail-biting experience, and came down to the game against QPR.
How big a blow was it for you not to have played in that one?
Absolutely devastated. Still not over it now. I don't think I ever will get over it. One of the biggest games in the club's history, and I wasn't involved. Oh, I was sub, but I wasn't on the pitch, and I wasn't leading the team out, and it hurt. Yeah, it was a bitter pill to swallow.
Bobby Williamson, I think, who barely knew you really at that time, spoke to you just about an hour before kickoff.
Yeah, he did. I mean, I hadn't been informed that I was going to be dropped by anyone at all, and I didn't agree with that, and I still don't agree with that. A game of that magnitude, I think I should have been told, but that wasn't to be. And you know, people do things for their own reasons, whatever. And but I was devastated. I was in the shower, sat on my own, and like I say, Bobby Williamson, who had known me for 5 minutes, really came in and just said some words of encouragement and stuff, which got me through it really. And was a massive thing for him to do, and it, like I said, it really did get me through it.
In the book, it comes across how much you enjoy playing football, training for football, etc., etc. I mean, you're still a relatively young man, but have you thought about what you will do once the game is over? I mean, presumably financially you'd probably be okay, but how much will you miss playing?
I'll miss playing, you know, unbelievably. It's all I know, really. I miss the banter in the changing room with the lads. I miss, I think Saturday afternoons would be the biggest thing, you know, when you're sat there and there's, even when you're injured and you're not playing on a Saturday afternoon, it's horrible. So I think it'd be a sad day when it, you know, you finally realise that you can't do it anymore. But it's life. You can't keep working forever. And unfortunately, in my job, the retirement age is a lot lower than any other job. So there's no point worrying about it. It comes to everybody, and I'll cross that bridge when I come to it.
Do you have any goals at all? I mean, you'll still only be 37 in 10 years' time. Do you think like that at all? Or?
No. I don't think it's wise for a footballer to think like that. What's to say I don't go out and train in tomorrow, snap my knee in half and not be able to play again? Touch wood, I don't. But, I mean, you've got to be philosophical. That's football. I might get run over by a bus walking home in a minute. You know, what can you do? There's no point worrying about the future. It's whatever will be, simple as that. And I'm a believer in, you know, I'll cross that bridge when I come to it. I've got some plans of what I'd like to do. Whether they come to the fore or not, I don't know. It's just I'll keep enjoying life at the moment as it is. I'm a believer in I'll take each day as it comes and live life to the full.
When you say you've got plans of what you'd like to do, is that within the game?
Yeah, because like I say, football's all I've ever known. Since ever I can remember, I've always been kicking a ball about. The amount of times my mum gave me a clip around the head for snapping her flowers and stuff with a football, it's, you know, I've always had a football in my hands. You should go around my nana's house, always have a football. It's just something that's, I love the game. If I wasn't playing, I'd be supporting. It's an addictive game, and it really does get into your bloodstream. And unfortunately, I can't kick it. And I think it's going to be with me forever. And there's nothing I can do about it. So I'm going to have to do something in the game, I think.
Paul, well, thanks so much.